So, as I've said before in the preparation for the homilies, I will usually take the first reading and the gospel text, read them together, and sit with them because they are chosen specifically to enlighten the other. There's something in those that prepare the lectionary that they see in that first reading that enlightens the gospel text, and the gospel text seemingly fulfilled in some way in that first reading. But in the first reading of that, I sat there going, okay, like the giving of the Ten Commandments and Jesus cleansing the temple, like, what does that have to do with each other? So that made me work this week. I think it connects. If we remember the giving of the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments specifically, we remember it says that the Exodus moment, the drawing them forth from slavery in Egypt into freedom as God's people. We see that in the dialogue between Moses and the Pharaoh, the request was made for the people to leave for one purpose only. If you remember the text, Moses isn't saying to Pharaoh, let my people go because it's wrong that you enslave them, which he could have said. It's wrong. This is a wrong situation. It's an unjust situation. They need to be set free. That's not what he says. God tells Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they might go into the wilderness and there offer sacrifice to me. Do you remember this? Because it kind of strikes us as odd, right? It's like, there's all these other reasons, right? Slavery is wrong, period. Let my people go. But the request is to let them go for a purpose. And the purpose reveals something deep about us. The very essence of who we are, because God is the creator and we are the creature, that if we are to abide in the truth, there is an honoring of the God who created us that is right and just, that is our duty and our salvation. It corresponds to the truth of who we are as created in the image and likeness of God who is love. That we would honor him, that we would worship him, that we would acknowledge who he is and what he has done, that he has brought us forth from non-existence into existence. It would be really cool if I could say, glass of refreshing cold water. Right? Just speak and draw something that doesn't exist into existence. If God has done this, not because of an agenda or things I need minions to worship me. No, out of a free gift of love, the bringing forth of all of creation. Why do we have artwork? Well, it's an objective thing, it's all this. No, the artwork springs forth from the heart of the artist for the purpose and the sake alone of an expression of beauty. To invite others to be drawn up into the beauty, to lose themselves in this invitation, in this encounter. And so it is right and just, my brothers and sisters, that we in our humanity worship the God who creates all things. And so Moses asks Pharaoh to free his people so that they might go. And what does he say? Well, the people can go, but all their cattle and all their sheep have to stay here. And Moses' response is like, no, because we have to sacrifice some, and we won't know what we would sacrifice until we're out there. It is for a purpose that they are set free. That might be offending some of our sensitivities, because we would have said, I would have rather God said to Moses, because slavery is wrong, and you need to set my people free. Right? That's what seems to be the more appropriate answer. But something is being revealed in this. is being revealed into our purpose as human beings, something that's fundamental to who we are, that we must do to be truly ourselves, to be a part of the reality that is created by a good and loving God. And so we come to the Ten Commandments, and again, our modern sensitivities and our libertarian kind of thing. Sure, God set them free from slavery to Pharaoh, only then to get him out in the desert and then impose this law on them. Right? The Ten Commandments, boom. Here you go. You went from being a slave to Pharaoh, now you're my slave. Boom. Do this, don't do that. Right? But what we see in the Ten Commandments is God trying to instruct his people about how they ought to live. In order for them to live in right relationship with God and right relationship with each other, these are the commandments. To keep sin and the slavery that comes with sin from entering into your life, avoid these things so that you don't become a slave, not to Pharaoh, but to sin. And that you can operate in the freedom of what it means to be a beloved son and daughter of God, made in the image and likeness of God. He gives command and instruction so that they can live in freedom, so that they can worship him in freedom and in truth. And so we come from that setting into the gospel text. And we come to the place in which it's the temple. It is the place in which all of this worship is supposed to culminate. There's only one place that they are supposed to offer sacrifice to the God of Israel. And it is the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark has been brought to the temple. The temple in Jerusalem is the place for sacrifice. All of the pilgrimage feasts. Could you imagine? I mean, some of you drive a long ways to come here for Sunday Mass, but you don't travel by foot to Jerusalem for multiple pilgrimage feasts a year, okay? We're a little low-key. We're pretty low-key on this, right? As far as demands upon us. But Jerusalem was the place. Jerusalem was the place. It's always been a place of hospitality and welcoming the guests and the visitors and all of these things. But what has happened? What has happened to the temple? We see the structure of the temple. There's like the Holy of Holies, and then there's the inner sanctuary of the temple, and then there's the place where only the priests can go, and then the courtyard for the men, and then the courtyard for the women, and then there's a courtyard for the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles who are constantly like this with the people of Israel. You know, the people that tried to dominate them or destroy them, and then God had to defend them and all of these things. There was a courtyard for the Gentiles. That was a part of the temple structure. Because God's desire was that all nations, that's what Gentiles means, the Gens, the people, the Gentile, the nations, all nations should be able to come to Jerusalem and pray. And that God would answer their prayers there. Queen of Sheba comes to visit Solomon because she hears of his wisdom. She goes to the temple, and there in the court of the Gentiles, she would have prayed that the God of Israel, the true God over all of these other nations, would be worshipped in spirit and in truth. I forget who it was. Was it Naaman? Naaman, the leper, the Syrian, who comes in order to be healed of his leprosy. And when he's healed of his leprosy, he takes a whole mule full load of dirt. We don't say that very often. We say truckload of dirt, right? He fills up a load of dirt, puts it on a mule, brings it back to Syria, back to his home place, and makes a place with the dirt of Israel so that he would only worship the God of Israel for the remainder of his life. The idea that the gods were connected to the territory in which they operated. This is the place of worship. This is the place, even on the front of our church, there is a quote from the prophet Isaiah, and it's referenced in there, where God says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." In the front of our church, on the facade, it says, "My house will be a house of prayer." This is an important reminder for us, my brothers and sisters, because when Jesus enters the temple, what does he see? He sees commerce. He sees shopping. And in that day, if you saw commerce and shopping, you better know that there was some cheating going on and raising of prices. People can't bring sacrifices. So, well, normally I'd get a sheep back home for half that. Yeah, but where are you going to get it? We were only ones. We're the only sheep seller, right? So you're going to buy it from us. Twice the cost. Three times the cost. Right? This kind of stuff, this haggling and this thing. And they've turned what was supposed to be about a people being set free for right relationship with God and worship and prayer, and they've made it into commerce. Praise the Lord, no one asked me to sell raffle tickets after Mass today. It seems that every time we have this gospel, someone's like, oh, we're going to sell cookies after Mass, Father, or we're going to do this. I'm like, no. Not today, of all the days, please don't sell anything in the church. You know? Why? Because that's not what this is about. Jesus cleanses the temple because the temple is supposed to be a place of prayer for all people to come. It gives the impression that they set up shop in the court of the Gentiles. You know, because they really don't care for the Gentiles. And so we'll just set up shop there. It would be like us having to go and pray in a local department store, right? Think of the busy time of the day, right? When everybody's trying to get their food or you're at the grocery store and you're standing in the middle of the aisle and you're trying to pray and people are like going through with their carts and, you know, but instead of having a frozen chicken, the chicken's like clocking and, you know, and instead of just some steaks, you get the cow coming across in front of you, right? It's like, here, this is what we give for you. This is your place of prayer. Boom. Come to the department store, right? So Jesus cleanses it. And then he points to something even greater. Like the cleansing of this temple is ultimately pointing to him. He is the temple where true worship of God will take place. When the 10 lepers, right? 9 of them, Jews, 1, a Samaritan, they get healed. The 9 go off to the temple to do all the rites and rituals of purification. And the Samaritan, who's not going to be welcome at the temple to do those, comes back and worships Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the temple. This will be the place of true worship of God. And so we have a question, my brothers and sisters. What are we doing here? Why have we come today to be here? I could offer you 1,000 answers to that question. I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just throwing them out. I'm not going to look and make eye contact with anybody. I can speak from my own experience. I've had people come to church because they want to ask me a question. Literally, I have not seen them for months and months in the church. And they come, and as soon as Mass is over, they're, Father, I've got a question for you. Blah, 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 this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what are you doing? You came to church. I was so happy to see you. You finally came to church. You did what you were supposed to do. And yet you came because you had a question for me. Really? Come to church just to hang out with my friends, see my buddies. I'm glad you like each other, but that's not why we're here. I came to fulfill an obligation, Father. The Catholic Church says you were obliged. Every Sunday you must come. Is that really why you're here? Because if that's why you're here, you're missing something so much greater that you've been invited into. There are 1,000 answers to the question, why are you here? Why are we here? What are we doing here? But the first and foremost thing, you say, well, I'm come because the Mass intention is for my person, so I'm praying for this person, or I'm here to have a whole list of Mass intentions, Father, that I'm going to pray for, and this and that. Great, wonderful, you can do that here, but that's not why we are here. Fundamentally, that's not why you are here. You are here because you have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit. You have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. You have been set free from a slavery of sin and separation from God into full communion with Him and the Father, that you might be able to pray, that you might be able to enter into a relationship of life and love with Him, that you would know the one who has created you, And that in this relationship, it would be renewed in this place. Now, why do we do it here and in this way? Because it all comes through Jesus. And the perfect prayer of Jesus, the perfect offering and expression of all that is, of perfect worship of the Father, is Jesus upon the cross. And so we come here in this place to celebrate the Mass, not to re-crucify Jesus, which Catholics are often, you know, some of our other Christian denomination friends will say, you re-sacrifice Jesus, you shouldn't need one sacrifice for all. Jesus' cross is present here. The one offering of himself to the Father is made present here in this moment, and the church, the bride of Christ, those who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit, the living temple of God. Look at St. Paul, and he said, do you not know that you are living stones being built up into an edifice of God just filled with the Holy Spirit? That the bride of Christ would be one with the bridegroom in the offering of himself to the Father in perfect worship. Of all of the reasons that we can say of why we are here, this is number one. It's not even to receive communion, my brothers and sisters. Do you know, church rules, you are obliged to go to church every holy day of obligation and every Sunday, but you are only obliged to receive communion once a year during Easter. What does that tell you? It means that the Mass is more than just receiving communion. As good and awesome as that is to be prepared to receive communion, that is not why we are here. It's not why we're here. It is because fundamentally who we are, made in the image and likeness of God who is love, as his creatures redeemed and joined to Jesus Christ, it is to render praise and thanksgiving to him for all that he has done, not just creation, but redemption in Jesus Christ. You are here because the body of Christ is here. You are here because all of the body of Christ throughout the world today. Do you know how many things other people want to do, right? Like other Catholics that could be done, like, you know, I really could have done something fun this morning, right? But I'm here, right? If that's true for you, you know how many millions and millions of Catholics had that same invitation? And yet the body of Christ, the church throughout the entire world, is gathered today, this morning, together with him, through him, with him, and in him. Through him, with him, and in him, to render perfect praise and thanksgiving to God. People have often asked me, Father, what's your favorite part of the Mass? I'm like, well, I like to talk a lot, so probably the homily, but not so. My favorite, absolute favorite time of the Mass is when I hold up the chalice and I hold up the body and they're separated, right? What does that show? The separation of it reveals sacrifice. Reveals sacrifice. When I hold them up, and I sing those words through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. And everyone says, amen. That is the moment, my brothers and sisters, the whole purpose why we are here. That who you are in Jesus Christ, this perfect expression, this gift of the self, and all those other beautiful things happen. You meet people, you hang out, we have a school, we have this mission, we have the food kitchen mission, we do all of these things, but it all must come from this. This fundamental reason why we are here. Not to check off the box, not to fulfill an obligation, but to do what is right and just because of what God has done for us. And so, just as Jesus purifies the temple today, may we receive that gift of purifying and cleansing our intentions about why we are here. To come and to make a gift of yourself. I can't make a gift of you. I can't take you. You are a human being with freedom. You must make a gift of yourself. You know, lift up your hearts. We lift up, yeah. Lift up your hearts. Well, we lift up to the Lord. You know, like, okay, when I sing that today, think about the words that I'm saying, right? This is you inviting you with me, through him, with him, and in him, to make this gift of ourselves to the Father. Because it is right and just. All that God did for the people of Exodus was to bring them into right worship of God. All that Jesus did upon the cross was to open up for them, for all of us, the perfect means to making a return to him for all that he has done for us. So, hopefully you're happy because you know fundamentally why you have been invited here and what this is about. My brothers and sisters, you get to make a gift of yourself to the one who loves you so much that he gave his only son that you might have life through him. And so we rejoice this morning. We come, we take up collection to keep the lights on all of these things. But more than anything, we make this gift of ourself to the one who has loved us beyond all cost. Amen.